Everybody's standing already, so I guess what we can do... Well, you know what? I'm going to have you seat. Have a seat for a minute, because I'm going to talk a little bit, give a little bit of background before... Can everybody hear me? I know I talk quiet sometimes, so I want to make sure you can hear me. Okay, good. In your bulletin, you know, I was asked, hey, you got notes or whatever? In your bulletin, I basically just had the verse printed out so that I made it kind of small so that if you wanted to put notes on the side, you can. But I didn't have any specific notes that will for you. But I did want to have something so that you could write notes if you wanted. Okay. Let me pray first, just so I can get my mind focused. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word, the Bible that guides us and shows us who you are, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and to be able to stay focused and bring you glory, Lord, through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as you can see, we're going to be studying Psalm 23. A number of weeks ago, us elders decided, hey, we should all probably get a sermon ready just in case something happens, like a couple of weeks ago. And I had been working on something, and when I heard about Rick, the sermon I was working on didn't quite seem right. The Lord told me, don't do that one. So right around Wednesday of this week, he gave me this, Psalm 23. And before we get started, I want us to, as we read this, I want you to have a few things in your mind as we read it. First of all, I know sometimes it can be easy to read this and, wow, this is a good psalm that David wrote, and it's very applicable. And we've probably heard Psalm 23, we've probably read it 1,000 times, you know, and it's usually at funerals and sad times. But in reality, this is about our whole life. Anyone who has faith in the Lord as their shepherd, as we go through this, you're going to see that it's not about the end of life. It's actually about the beginning of life and how it actually never ends if the Lord is our shepherd. So it actually can be viewed as a very joyful thing. And that's what I want us to look at it this morning as. And another few things that I want to say is, obviously we all know that it was David who wrote this. And it's neat when you think about God and how he gave us his scriptures. We know that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God will be fully equipped for every good work. And one thing that is cool is that when the Holy Spirit inspired people to write scripture was that he used their personal lives, the experiences they went through, and their personalities to bring out exactly what God wanted. And as we look at this, we can remember that David was king when he wrote this. And he was king for a while. And he's looking back at his life. And one of the things in his life is we obviously know that David was a shepherd. He took care of his father's sheep. And, you know, even like in 1 Samuel 17, there was times when he even had to lay his life, put his life in jeopardy to save his father's sheep. You know? And he's very familiar with the temperament of sheep, that they're pretty dependent on the shepherd. Sheep could not survive without a shepherd. They need the shepherd to give them food and water and to protect them from enemies like wolves. Or if, I've heard it say that if there was a pit for a sheep to fall in, they're going to find it and they're going to fall in it. I mean, that's just who they are, you know. And this is David recalling those facts about sheep. As he's writing this, the Spirit is using that experience that he had. And the other cool thing to think about is that David was king. How easy would it be as a human to say, I'm king, I have control over Israel, I'm rich, I can have whatever I want. Why do I need my Lord? Why do I need God? You know, it would be very easy for someone to fall to that, but he didn't. Did David make mistakes? Oh, yes, he did. We all know that. David had his highs and his lows. He was a lowly shepherd boy, which were outcasts in that society, you know. And when you think about these things I'm saying, that really does reflect Jesus, who was an outcast, who laid down his life for his sheep, which is us. We really are like sheep, aren't we? We're easily scared. Sheep are very frightened very easily. And we definitely need a shepherd. And it's neat to see that King David looked at himself, despite being king, and said, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, I shall not want. So that's just what I want us to think about that before we start. So, if you would, you can stand up now and we will read this together all the way through and then I'll go back and talk about it. Okay. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, you may be seated. Okay. So the first I want to talk about, verse 1. The point I want to make is that David says the Lord is not just, you know, a shepherd, but he says the Lord is my shepherd. And in that he's implying that he has a pretty good relationship with his shepherd, the Lord, you know. I mean, you can almost feel the love he has for the Lord in this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in short, that's pretty easy to interpret. Wow. Because the Lord was his shepherd, he will be in want of nothing. You know, this first verse is almost, you could say, a summarization of the rest, you know, because that pretty much says it all. You know, because the Lord is our shepherd, if we have the Lord as our shepherd, we will lack nothing. He will take care of us physically, spiritually, emotionally. Wow. That's amazing. And I almost thought of playing a joke like saying, okay, I'm done now, and then walk away. But I thought, nah, I better not do that. So I'll stay here. But and that would have been a lot easier to do. But, but okay. So let's move on to Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When he's speaking of making, as a sheep, think of yourself as a sheep. Well, actually, yeah, don't think of yourself as a sheep. We are the Lord's sheep who know him. But when it says here that he makes us lie down, one thing I want to point out is that the Lord, the shepherd, makes us lie down in green pastures. So there's two things there that he's providing for us. One is that we're lying down, we're resting, we're at peace. And two, it's green pastures. That's food. That's nourishment for us. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. One, he gives us rest. Two, he's giving us nourishment for our soul. You know, he's giving us food, which is scriptures. You know, if you want to make parallels, you can say that he gives us rest, and that rest comes through his word and getting to know him. And then he leads me besides the still waters. The point there is that those waters are still. Like I said earlier, sheep get scared really easily, you know. These waters aren't class 4 rapids that's going to scare the sheep and they're not going to want to take a drink. And it's also not a stagnant pond that, you know, would poison them. You know, the shepherd knows what they need, what he needs. And this is still waters, kind of like when you look at a lake and it's glass calm. There's still an undertow. It's still moving, so it's fresh, but yet it's calm. And that's what God gives us, you know, in our lives. So I'd say in verse 2, he gives us rest and nourishment, and he also gives us peaceful refreshment, which is found in God's word and knowing who that shepherd is. So verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Restores my soul implies that our soul is in need of renewing, restoring sometimes. As sheep, a lot of times they wander off, right? I know you guys have heard this stuff a million times, but and there is a whole lot more to these verses than what I'm saying, but I don't want to be here real long. But as a general observation, you can see that we at times need to be restored because we make mistakes. As sheep, we wander, we fall into pits. We know, hey, he's the good shepherd. We know he's good. You can look at David's life. We can look in our own lives and look at times when we've taken our eyes off of the good shepherd, of the Lord, and we went our own way. And the cool thing is that he will restore us. You know, he still loves us. He wants to restore us. And another point about a soul is, if you remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, what is a soul? You know, it is when a physical body joined together with a spirit makes a living soul. We remember that in Genesis when God created Adam and Eve, Adam. And so it's physical and spiritual too. You know what I mean? He's not just concerned over our physical needs, but he's also concerned over the spiritual aspect too, them together as one soul. And that's awesome. Actually, it reminds me of a funny story. I'll tell the story. A time that when I was studying this, the thought that came to my mind is when I lived in Philadelphia, I did some work in New York City on a regular basis. I had to drive back and forth every day to New York, Manhattan, and stuff like that. And it was a long drive. I remember one particular day, it was a Friday, and I was almost home. I had like less than a mile to get home. And I came up to this intersection. It was on the boulevard. I don't know if you know the boulevard, but there's a lot of lanes going this way, a lot of lanes going the other way. And when you turn, there's two lanes that turn, and you got to wait at a light, obviously. And I was just pulled up. There was two cars in front of me. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to get something to, I had a drink or something. I started to drink something. All of a sudden, beside me, I see this flash. And I look up, and there's a cop pulled right. There was a little grass spot, and he pulled right up and parked right there. And I remember thinking, what in the world is he parking there for? He's never going to get anybody a ticket. He's never going to give anybody a ticket there. He's right out in the open. Everybody can see him. Who would be crazy enough to run a red light when the cop is sitting right there, right? Well, I remember saying that out loud to myself, and then I looked down one more time to get my drink, and I took a drink. I put it down, and all of a sudden, the cars in front of me started moving. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to go. I start driving, and I turn, and I look up, and guess what? It was red. Oh, my goodness. Who's that crazy person that would run a red light right in front of a cop? Me. I did it. Unbelievable, you know. And I remember even telling that to the cop. I said, you're not going to believe this, but when I saw you pull up, I said out loud to myself, who would be the crazy person that would ever run a red light right in front of a cop? You know, and I said, I guess that's me, you know. Now, I paid for that. I had a big ticket, you know. But I also remember thinking, wow, thank God that there was no one coming the other way. You know, that could have been really bad, you know. And I was grateful that God had protected me. And I was also a little mad, like, why didn't that cop get the other guys, you know, instead of me? No, but anyways. But my point is, you can't look at other people and follow them. You got to look at the one who's in charge. That light is what I should have followed, not the people in front of me. You know, and it's the same with the Lord. You know, we need to make sure our eyes are focused on Him so that we don't get ourselves into trouble and hurt ourselves or anybody else. So anyways, I just thought that was kind of a funny story to make that point. But so He does restore our soul when we make mistakes. And it says, He leads me beside the paths of righteousness. So when we mess up and don't follow Him, the Lord, He will restore us, but He also will teach us in His Word not to wander from Him. You know, when it's talking about He leads me in paths of righteousness, that those paths of righteousness are His righteousness, who He is, and He's so He'll correct us, you know, and forgive us, but He also will help us learn from our mistakes, you could say. So He will lead us in those paths of righteousness. And He does that for His name's sake. Now, that always sounded funny to me, like, oh, He's doing that for His name's sake. Look, He's taking care of just so that His name is good. But that's really not what that means. It's actually proving His character, who He is. It's a glorification of the character of God. This is who He is. He is the shepherd. He does love us. He wants to guide us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to continue to teach us to sanctify us. We know that word, you know, the process of sanctification, the process in which God, through His Word and life experience, makes us like Himself. And that's what this is referring to here as well. It's for His name's sake, because that's who He is. And thank God that's who He is. You know? So, okay, let's look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because the Lord is with me, I can walk. I don't have to run in fear. But I can walk through circumstances in my life that could be dangerous, where my life is threatened, or due to stupid things I've done, or just circumstances that you find yourself in the middle of. God is still there, and He will walk through those times with us. And that's cool, because it does, by saying walk, that's another way of saying, it's okay. You don't have to run in fear. You know, you can think of this world right now and how crazy it is. You know, in the world in general, it's falling apart. We can look in our own life of our church and see, wow, there's been a lot of things that have happened. But God is with us, you know, and He loves us. He's still our shepherd. We aren't in want of anything. Everything we need is here. And the other thing I want to point out too is it's easy to think when we read these verses, we think of ourselves. I'm a sheep, He's the Lord. But remember that whole other aspect that we're not just one sheep. We are part of a flock. You know, we have each other as well. And God loves us individually, but He also loves us as a whole. And just like we learn through circumstances individually in our lives, we also learn corporately, you might say, as a body of believers, that He is with us and that He provides for us. And even when, if we make mistakes, He loves us and we learn from Him and we move on, you know. And, you know, that's awesome to think about, you know. So, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. And that's why we can walk through those valleys, because we know the Good Shepherd is with us. And when I was younger, I always looked at this part, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That always made me think of my dad with his belt or something. And I'm like, how does that comfort me? You know, what in the world? But in reality, the shepherd, the rod and the staff are an extension of the loving shepherd. You know, that's part of who He is. The sheep viewed that rod and that staff as, that's the shepherd, that's part of Him. So if you have a loving shepherd who's caring for you and guiding you, those tools of the shepherd are just an extension of who the shepherd is, you know. And what were those tools used for? I lost my place here. He would, well, I lost my place, but I think I know what I'm going to say here. It was used for many things. One, we're all familiar with the shepherd's rod with the hook on it. When the sheep would go and fall in the pit, what would he do with it? He could get the sheep out of the pit. So it was used to help the shepherd rescue the sheep. It also, as we talked about earlier, when King David in 1 Samuel 17, he had to fend off lions and wolves and things like that. So our loving Lord not only protects us from our own self, but even those who are out to get us. Because Satan is a sly dog. And yeah, we can do some pretty crazy things on our own. We don't need Satan to do them for us. But when we have someone who is actually out to get us, to get back at the Good Shepherd, it's nice to know that that Good Shepherd is there with us. He has a rod and a staff to protect us. Not only from ourselves, He can direct us away from pits or poisonous plants that could make the sheep sick, but He also can protect us from those who are out to get us individually and as a whole, in the church and even worldwide, the body of Christ. He is that Good Shepherd. So that's why it's comforting to the sheep, because it is an extension of the shepherd's love and care. Okay. Now, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now here in verse 5, David kind of transitions his vision of what's going on, as far as he's changing from going from a shepherd to more of the Bedouin culture of the day. Is there were nomadic Arabs of the desert, where it was kind of a code, you might say, where people live miles apart. So if someone came to your door, you would view them as, you would treat them pretty much like royalty. Whatever you had, you were going to provide their needs. They need food, you gave them food. You gave them drink. If they were hurt or anything, you would take care of them. You know, kind of like the Good Samaritan, you know. It was whatever they need. That's what it is. And when it says, you prepare a table before me, in that culture, that table represents the abundant provision of whatever was needed. The abundant provision. When it says that you anoint my head with oil, that was another custom of that culture, that the guest, the owner of the home would anoint the head of the guest for a couple of reasons. One was to show honor to them that, hey, we're fellow humans, you know, we respect each other, but also to show love. Not just respect, but to show love. So, that's pretty cool, you know. And he exemplifies that even more by saying, my cup overflows. So how much does our good shepherd give us? Even when we're in the presence of our enemies, we could be going through the craziest things in the world, and God will be that gracious host and provide everything we need to overflowing. And he anoints our head with oil, you know, saying, look, I love you. And even in front of our enemies, he's going to show that respect. You know, he does that. You know, how awesome is that? Right in front of our enemies, he's going to take care of us. It's not like, hey, I'm going to take you over here and hide the fact that I'm taking care of my people. No, the world's going to see it. They're going to know it right in front of the enemies. And that's awesome to know that. Okay. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's awesome. And David is saying that the Lord's goodness and mercy is with us all of the days of our life on this earth, but also for eternity, the eternity future, you know. Will be forever in the presence of the Lord, you know, if the Lord is our shepherd. One other thing I want to say about this is the relationship changes a little bit. And when we think of the future where it says in the house of the Lord forever, you know, when we think about recent events, we can be happy knowing that our loved ones are with the Lord. You know, that relationship of the sheep and the shepherd did not end. It actually lasts forever. And secondly, the other good thing is that we know that when we receive when we go to be with the Lord, we will have that new body. We will have no more sin. We will have no more sin nature. So when we, in the future, are following our shepherd, we won't have to deal with our mistakes. You know, like, our relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is going to look a little different because we're not going to make those mistakes. We're not going to sin because we won't have that anymore. Isn't that going to be awesome? We'll be able to follow the person, our Lord, with no reservation, with totally knowing who He is, and just follow Him and not fall into pits of our own making or enemies out to get us. Cool. That's going to be awesome. So let me see what time it is. I don't want to talk too long. I can do that sometimes. All right. So what I'm going to do now then is basically just real quickly go over it one more time and just kind of make it a little shorter here. We're at verse 1, like I said before, was a summary where the Lord as our shepherd, we won't lack anything. In verse 2, we get restful nourishment and peaceful refreshment through His Word, the Bible. And in verse 3, He will restore our relationship and teach us to follow His commands, proving that His character is the Good Shepherd, that He is those things. And verse 4, I will not be afraid, even as I go through times in this life, trials, because the Lord is with me, I won't be afraid. You know, He will guide and protect us through those valleys, and He'll use those tools, His rod and His staff, knowing that gives us peace. And verse 5, the Lord is our gracious host who provides abundantly and shows love and respect to us even in the presence of our enemy to overflowing. Amen. And verse 6, the Lord's goodness and mercy is with us all of our days on this earth, but also for eternity future. And that is awesome. So this psalm gives us as believers peace and comfort, even in these times. But I also wanted to do one other thing. It should also challenge us to look all around us and see the people who don't have the Lord as their shepherd. I mean, we have it good. We have it really good. But we all know people all around us that don't have Him as their Lord and Savior. They don't have His direction to keep them from falling into a pit or being attacked by those who are out to kill them. You know, we have that and we know who He is. And I hope that we will think about that as well, that, you know, why are we here? Just like if we remember Rick's last message, you know, one of the things he always pushed was, you know, we have the message. We have the good news, the gospel. And it's our job to, why are we here on this earth? Yeah, we're His sheep. We're learning to be like Christ. We are being sanctified. And as we are, we're supposed to lead others to, hey, come, I know this awesome shepherd. You know, introduce them to the Lord. Now, I also know that God is the author and finisher of faith. Our job is to be a witness of what the Good Shepherd is doing for us. We're not the ones that save them, but we are supposed to tell them who He is, and the Lord is the one that saves them. So just a few verses that come to mind is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, die, but have everlasting life. And when it says die, it doesn't mean physically die. Yes, we will all die unless the Lord comes. But spiritually, we will not be separated from God. That's the second death. That's the scariest death. It would be to be separate from God, to not have that relationship with our shepherd that lasts forever, you know. And Ephesians 2:8-9 is another one that we probably all know by heart, you know. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's that faith that we need to present to people, show them, look. Give people the gospel. You know, there's a lot of verses. I could list 20 or 30 of them. I don't need to tell them to you. You already know them. So my goal for today was to present this to you, to encourage us to know that even though we're going through hard times right now, that God is with us. He is our good shepherd. But then secondly, to also not forget why we're here. And that is to be a light to Myerstown, to give the gospel to the people that we're standing in line with at the grocery store or at work or wherever we are. You know, let's tell them about our good shepherd. Isn't he really good? I mean, so that's what I have for today. So I think what's next here? I should have read the bulletin. I guess we're going to have Nate and them come up for music.